Hello, if you've just joined us, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, with me, Sharad Kutun. On January 10th, China shared the genetic sequence of COVID-19, and since then, there has been a mad scramble to find a vaccine. But just how far are we from a safe, manufacturable vaccine for COVID-19? Joining us on the line now to help us think through this question is Jean-Michel Pidanel, Director of Southeast Asia at the Drugs for Neglected Diseases Initiative. Jean-Michel, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Now,
Thank you for having me.
Is it a given, Jean-Michel, that we will have a vaccine for COVID-19 and it's merely a matter of time before we have one? Or is it more about when we'll have a vaccine rather than if we'll find one?
I think it's generally speaking more when we will have a vaccine, although, you know, people that are specialized in the development of vaccines might not like me to say that, but I think it's more when we will have a vaccine than if we will have a vaccine. Okay. But the development of drugs or vaccine in general take a long time, you know. I'm more into the development of treatment of new drugs. And for example, the development of a new chemical entity takes 10 years. And the development of a vaccine is also takes a long time. So today we are talking of having a vaccine within a year or 18 months, and it's already, it's quite remarkable that we are capable of thinking that within 12 months or 18 months we will have a vaccine.
Jean-Michel, could you explain to us the difference between a vaccine and therapies that are also being developed for those already infected by COVID, the coronavirus?
Well, I think the best way to explain is that, you know, when we see the spread of this COVID-19, we need different tools to deal with it and to stop the spreading of it. And one of the tools we have is, of course, to treat people as soon as they are infected so that they don't contaminate other people. The other thing we have is we could also use a prophylaxis, which is to use a drug, maybe some of you have had that before, for malaria, where you take a small quantity of a drug for a short period of time in order to avoid catching malaria, for example. But we also have a kind of a prophylaxis for other diseases such as HIV, where you take a certain amount of drug over time to prevent being infected. So that's the prophylaxis. But of course, the best tool we can have in order to prevent the COVID-19 spreading is a vaccine. And that is definitely something essential for all of us in preventing this epidemic to go on ruining our life as it is today.
So can I come back to what you said? You said that drug development often takes a long time, 10 years, you mentioned. And now we're talking about a 12 to 18 month timeline when it comes to this vaccine. Why is it that this vaccine has been accelerated so much? Is that safe for it to be developed in such a short amount of time?
So there is a difference in between putting a new chemical entity on the market for as a treatment and a vaccine. And yes, actually, 18 months is a short period of time, but if you look at it, it's also a very long period of time. Don't we wish we would have a vaccine now? And the reason we can't have it now is because the process is meant to guarantee the safety of us, of the people that are going to receive that vaccine. And there is a certain number of steps in the development of a vaccine that, you know, you cannot go without these steps. And that's why it's taking such a long time. So first you try in vitro, then you try on animals, then you try on human, and it takes a long time. Mm. And 18 months is indeed a very short period of time to develop a new vaccine. And it's remarkable and it's really great that there is such a commitment to find this vaccine so quickly.
Help us understand what the global framework, regulatory framework is like. I mean, people talk about the FDA, there's the European equivalent, the EMA, I understand. Are these the only two go-to regulators that the world trusts?
No, not at all. Every country has its own FDA, if you want. Huh? In Malaysia, it's called the NPRA. So every country is sovereign in deciding how they are going to register and develop drugs. So it means that if a drug is approved in one country, it also needs to be approved in another country to be used in every of these countries. So it's also quite a tedious process, but we can see that in the case of the COVID-19, there will be a real willingness to make sure this happens quickly. Obviously, we need this vaccine quickly without compromising the safety of people.
Okay, Jean-Michel, what then are the potential problems that could arise after a vaccine is found? I mean, I'm thinking about supply, which could be limited, or possibly cost, which would make it inaccessible.
Yeah, so it's true. That's a major problem. And, you know, when you speak about this topic, you talk about the race to bring a vaccine on the market, and it sounds really competitive. And I hope that we are not going to go into that competitive mode. I think we all need a vaccine. You know, this pandemic is eating all of us. Half of the humanity is confined at home, so we all need that vaccine. And we cannot afford to have a development model where people are going to compete and fight. We need to work together, and we need to make sure that this vaccine is accessible to all, including the most vulnerable, including in low-income countries. This is really crucial and important. This is something that we at the NDI feel very strongly about, you know, that all these new treatments and all these new vaccines need to be affordable, need to be accessible. And if they are driven only by the impetus of making profit, that would be a real disaster. For us all.
Help me understand. I mean, I understand there are several methods in terms of a vaccine and different methodologies or strategies. Is it possible that we might actually have several vaccines out there in the market or in, you know, available at the end of this 12 to 18 month period?
Yeah, I hope so, because, you know, I think, you know, like everywhere, the more the market is competitive, the more product we have, the more the prices will go down. We have seen that, for example, in Malaysia. Malaysia has taken a very strong stand on the access to hepatitis C treatment and has made sure that the Malaysian market would be a competitive market for HCV treatment. And that has brought the prices of HCV treatment in Malaysia down to an unprecedented level. I think no other country, no middle-income country was able to source the HCV treatment at the price Malaysia did. So competition is good. The problem is monopolies. And I think in the context of drugs, we often see monopolistic situation, which brings prices up. But, you know, boosting the generic industry of Malaysia, encouraging different players to come on the market, these are all very good things for all of us, because it brings the price of treatment down or vaccines.
Well, I want to talk about that a little bit, Jean-Michel. In terms of domestic research and production capacity of vaccines in Malaysia, have we invested enough? Or should we be looking to invest more right now? Is that kind of too little, too late?
Well, you're talking to the wrong person, because the idea of the NDI is to promote and to push for more public commitment to medical research and development. You know, the model we have, which is a big pharma model with patent and high profit, it's fine, but it's not delivering all the drugs we need. It's not delivering on for example, antibiotics. We don't have any new antibiotics. So we need to have strong national industries, and we need to have governments. So the Malaysian government should invest much more in medical research. I mean, first of all, it's a good market to invest in, but we need that. We need to have new players to engage in the research and development of new drugs. We can't always have the same group expected to deliver all the drugs. And so I think, yes, it's important, it's strategic, and it's crucial.
Okay, Jean-Michel, in the last minute or so that we have, what is the likely scenario do you see happening or unfolding in a Malaysian context when a vaccine is developed? What is likely to happen, do you think?
I hope we will get it very quickly in Malaysia. It doesn't matter whether it's locally produced or whether it's imported, as long as it's affordable. So I hope the likely scenario is, I hope it will be enough countries fighting to make sure that whichever new vaccine is available on the market is available at a low cost. and it's that there is no monopolistic situation created by a patent system that would guarantee a monopoly for one company to have access to the Malaysian market. So we need to open, we need to team up with other countries in the region and beyond to make sure that these vaccines are available, because we need them. You know, this is going to be certainly the solution to get us back to a form of normality.
Jean-Michel, thank you so much for speaking with us tonight. I appreciate your time and your insights with us, sharing that insights with us. Thank you so much for your time.
Now we're going to
take a quick break, and we'll be back to continue this conversation on vaccine development in just a few minutes. Stay tuned to Consider This.